Am I coming through the PA? Nah, let's not do it in B flat this time, okay? Yeah. I want you to bear down on it though, Bob, and do your part. Because I hadn't heard you on this song for a long time.
Sauk River Cowboy Church. You have been listening to Mr. David Bennett
and Mr. Bob Tuttle
as they played an old Floyd Kramer song, Last Date, and that was by request. And by the way, Dave will about always just come up and do stuff a little early. If you ever have something like that you'd like to hear, I'm sure you can ask him and he'd be happy to do that.
Okay. Be glad to, and I'll drag Bob up with me.
Okay, we're gonna kick off this service with I'm gonna praise the Lord, and remember you guys have a real special part in this, because in the choruses when I say the devil won't like it, you say
I don't care.
There you go. Yeah. All right, let's do this in A.
Aha.
I'm gonna sing about my Jesus everywhere.
singing out there, you guys. What a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Aren't you thankful for air conditioning?
Yeah.
You know, I think about when I was a kid growing up, my parents didn't go to church, but I had a grandma that, when we lived fairly close to her, she'd take me to church with her. And of course, they didn't have any air conditioning back then because, you know, it was before the turn of the last century.
But anyway,
I can remember we had fans from the funeral homes. And I can remember that. And I thought, wow, what a thing. Oh, Mike's still over there, fan. Anyway, okay, Don, are you ready? All right, here comes Mr. Don Green. Let's make him welcome. He's good at this.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Stock River Cowboy Church. Have we got any visitors today? No visitors?
Oh, over here.
Whoop. Oh, man. Give me another hop. Come on. I got a little. There you go. How about birthdays? Got any birthdays? Hip.
Oh, we got two right over there. Yeah.
Hip. Hip.
Hip.
Oh, man. Been a good month. How about anniversaries? Hip. Come on, give me another. Just got one, so.
Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary.
Thank you, Trita. Hey, don't forget, Band of Brothers meets the first and third Sunday of the month, which will be this afternoon at 3 o'clock here. Circle of Sisters will be meeting, have taken some time off. They won't start meeting back up until September. Speaking of September, September the 7th, we have our annual baptism. So if you know anybody that wants to be baptized, we go out Charles Turk's farm, and we baptize in the Little Sauk River out there. It's usually a experience that you won't ever forget because we usually have a lot of people getting baptized. There are seeds back there by the sound booth on the, whichever side you're looking, on the right or the left, whichever way you're looking at it. But beside it, there's some seeds. Help yourself on that. The rare breed needs bug spray and screen sunscreen. Our fifth Thursday sing will be Route 5. baptism, got that all covered. You know, a bird can't fly without wings. A fish cannot swim without water. And the soul cannot reach heaven without Jesus.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you and again, thank you for all the blessings you give us. We ask you to bless all the people involved in the music and the food and the Gus Ministries and the board of directors and the pastors. Oh, just reach down and keep them in your palm in your hand and keep them safe and blessing each and every one of them. And if there is somebody here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, I ask that they open their heart and let you in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's the way it is around the Cowboy Church.
Thank you, Don. Yeah. Okay, Mike Fraker asked me to make this announcement. Now, if you're like me, you wouldn't notice one way or another. But if you're like my husband, you would. So, these two doors over here are fire doors, okay? They will not stay that color. Now, raise your hand if that doesn't matter to you. See, Mike, you'd have been fine. Nobody would have cared. No, really, fewer than half. So I'm sorry, but we are in the minority. Some people do look around and notice their surroundings. So, Okay, and then one more thing I just want to say. You know, Jim Jones had been playing bass in this service, and so he's not going to be coming anymore because we're not going to have this service anymore. He is the one who always brought Dave to church. So if any of you live, he lives just off South Campbell, just probably, I'm guessing, what would that be, maybe a mile south of James River Freeway, Mike?
Lakewood Village.
Yeah. Anyway, if any of you would be willing to kind of get in a rotation of picking him up and bringing him to church with you, and I don't know whether y'all are just going to absorb over into the other service or if some of you like 10 o'clock and you'll be going back to the stockyards, whatever you do. But anyone who is going to be coming here, if you have the ability and the desire to grab David on your way here, that'd be great. And I will be here after this service. If you're interested in doing that, get in touch with me. I will take your contact information, and I'll just try to set up some kind of a rotation to do that. If we lived, and Mike and I don't know where we're going after this either, so, but we can pick him up fairly easily, but not always. So anyway, anybody that would be interested in doing that, find me after this service. Okay, if you will grab your songbooks, let's turn to page 5, and let's play at Calvary. Remember, Dave, how I said I want to do that?
D.
D. D dog. Okay. I'm going to sing at Calvary. To me, there my burdened soul found liberty. do this one an F, guys. Sorry, Addo. And while they're getting their heads around that, I forgot to mention that Jeff wanted me to share with you all that everything that Mike has done on the building, it's all wrong. I said, really? Like from the footings up? He said, all of it's just wrong. None of it's right. So if you agree with Jeff, I'd ask you just to keep that to yourself. Ladies, come on up. Let's start moving that direction. Okay, we're done, I'm going to move mics. Yes. Okay.
Come this way.
I can do it.
Walk like this.
I can do it.
Okay, well, we're switching folks up here. A few months ago, Laura Wallace said, you know, do you think there'd be some women that, you know, would like to just get together and sing? A lot of people in this church sing, but and would like to sing up here, but aren't comfortable doing solos. And so she sent out just a thing. I think you put it in the newsletter, maybe. But anyway, so... she had a pretty good response. We've had as many as 12 of us, or 13 maybe, get together and just try to work on putting together some harmonies and learn some music. Anyway, so this is the debut. Please make them welcome the Sauk River Cowgirls.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, ladies. Sauk River Cowgirls. Did y'all enjoy that? Oh my goodness.
Okay, I'm getting stuff out of your way.
That's all right. Trita's helping me. She knows that I'm going to walk around on this stage like I was Pentecostal.
Did you box jump this?
I stepped right up there without any stairs.
But you didn't box jump.
I didn't box jump it. No, ma'am.
I'm not impressed.
Jeff told me, he said, I apologize for your stairs not being there. I said, if I can get on a horse, then I can get up there. I don't know if I can get on a horse anymore. I mean, everybody doing all right? Poke your neighbor right now and say, wake up. You look lively. You look kind of rowdy. So that's good. I like a rowdy crowd. So I'm happy about that. I want to share with you a couple of things really quick. I know that that Don had mentioned it, but I want to just kind of expound on it just a little bit. Don't forget about August 23rd at 6 p.m. Men, this is going to be a great night. We have some stuff that we're going to do. We've got some giveaways. If you're an outdoorsman, we're going to have some stuff for outdoorsmen. We're going to have some fishing gear that are going to be given away. We have a brand new bow, compound bow, ready to hunt, that's coming from Bass Pro Shop, that's going to be here for a giveaway. If you know someone who's a bow hunter, hey, there you have an opportunity to win a bow. We've got tools. We've got some tool sets. We've got fishing gear. We've got some camping gear. We've got other things that I don't need to take the time to mention. And then we got some guy going to speak. His name's Andrew. That's my brother. And so he's going to do a fabulous job. He's a phenomenal ministry. He is a U.S. missions. Again, just to remind you all, and over the past decade, he's worked and founded an organization that's human trafficking organization, and has worked hard in rescuing these young men and women, both, out of that life. And it's phenomenal. Now he's moving into this men's ministry that's a part of that as well, to help men get on mission with their church and plug in, and it's going to be a great night. So invite someone, invite some men that you know, and we're going to have a great time. All right, that being said, also don't forget about our fifth Thursday sing coming up. It's going to be Route 3. I think Don said Route 5, and that's okay. Route 5 is like two county roads over. Route 3 is going to be here. Route 3 is going to be here, and it's going to be phenomenal. They're Pine Castle recording artists, and they play good bluegrass, and they're great friends of ours, and it's going to be a good time, so make sure you're here for that. All right. Turn to John chapter 14. You ready to get into some I am statements this morning? We're about to wrap this up. Next Sunday should be our last I am statement, but this morning, we're actually going to see a three-part I am statement. How many of y'all use GPS? Yeah. So we've come a long ways from Lewis and Clark and Sacagawea scouting and exploring and mapping out our beautiful country to now. They moved in just years later, decades later. It was the railroad, right? And then we had one railroad that would run all the way from one side of the country to the other. So we had access, and things began to grow, and people began to settle new parts of this country. And then we moved a little bit further, and we had more railroads and different tracks, different directions to go. And then we had roads. And someone guess how many roads we have in the U.S. I don't know. I didn't look it up. I didn't look it up, but we have a lot of roads, don't we? And so we went from Rand McNally. How many of y'all still have a Rand McNally Atlas? You use that, remember, and you'd have to flip page, and the road would run out, and you got to find another section where that part of the road is, because you'd have the different cities that were separate from that big map. It was a lot of work. We went from Rand McNally to MapQuest. How many of y'all use MapQuest? Some of y'all still use MapQuest? You get online, right, and he gives you turn-by-turn directions written out on a sheet of paper, and depends on how far you were going. It might have been two sheets of paper. It might have been a whole ream of paper, right? And you followed that, and you, as long as you followed the instructions, you'd probably get to where you were going. Now, before even a lot of that stuff, how many of y'all used to just ask directions from a stranger? Yeah? And you ask directions from someone that was questionable. Anyone ever do that? How do I get to Sauk River Cowboy Church? Oh, you can't get there from here. Well, that's not true. Or they give you directions like this. Well, if you turn down there by that old fork tree and then down the road just a little ways, you're going to see this boulder. It has a spider web on it. It's been there for a long time. You know those kind of directions? Or maybe you've given someone direction on purpose that was not right. Where did you catch that fish? Right in the lip. Where are you finding all these big bucks? In the woods. Right? And you do that kind of stuff on purpose. Well, we went from scouting and mapping out this country to now we have GPS. Right? We went from MapQuest to GPS. And so you get GPS, and the first GPS I ever got was for Christmas from Julie. And I could find my way to all my horseshoeing clients by punching in their address, and I would go there. And sometimes it was accurate, sometimes it was not. But Julie wanted to make sure. She thought, if I get him one of these for Christmas, he thinks I'm being nice, but really, he'll just go find these horses that he needs to shoe to make money. And so I got that, and it worked, and you had to update it. You had to, like, pay for the updates on them, you know, so that you can get current road situations. And the voice that I picked on mine, I downloaded Larry the Cable Guy, old Mater. And he was giving me directions. And that's what I would do. Now, you may still have one of those GPS units that you put on your dash in your car, but everyone has a phone now, right? You got GPS on your phone. And so you can just punch it in on your phone and find exactly where you need to go. Or if you have a newer car, you might have it in your screen on your dash of your car, right? And now that's pretty fancy because it shows you where you need to go, and then it gives you updates on traffic. Ours will tell us, hey, listen, traffic's going to slow down at this time. Hey, there's been an accident, you know, so be careful. Or there's debris in the road. And some of y'all need this one, and I probably need this one too. Mike, where you at? You in here? It also tells you where the police are. Now, I will tell you, and I was praying. We were running late this morning to get to church, and I'm confessing sins, okay? I passed Mike down here on 44 like he was standing still. But I was repenting every mile, and so I'm confessing sins. I was praying. I probably shouldn't have told you all that, but I'm telling you. Because Mike may already have told you. But we were trying to get to church. And so GPS has changed a lot. Technology has changed, and it's pretty easy to find direction and find where you're going. It's a little bit harder to get lost. Now, not only will it tell us road conditions, but when we get in the vehicle on Sunday mornings now, it memorizes our schedule. And as soon as we get in, it automatically says, hey, directions to Cowboy Church. Or we get in on a Thursday night, and it says direction to the event center. We get in on certain days when Hayes is going to school or he has events that are come up on a regular basis, it automatically loads it for us. That's a little scary, but pretty cool. That's changed a lot. Now, I imagine that there are some people that when we go to the spiritual and we talk about this, that they're searching. They're lost. They're looking. Maybe they're looking for answers and they have questions like, is this all there is to life? Is this everything? You know, I'm trying. Maybe you've heard about Jesus or you've heard about church and you're checking things out, but you're just not sure and you're searching and you're looking for answers and you're looking for the way and you're looking for the right path to take. Well, Jesus, right here in chapter 14, makes this three-part I am statement. All the other ones are a single statement. This one's a three-part I am statement. That's what I like to call it. And he talks about this. And so the disciples here in chapter 14, they're all together and they're celebrating Passover meal together. And Jesus is talking to them. In verse 1, it says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And when everything is ready, I will come and I'll get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And then he makes a statement right here. He says, and you know the way to where I am going. You know the way to where I'm going. Now, what I want you to notice is the disciples' response to this. He says, no, we don't. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. Now, and Scotty made this statement last week, and we were talking about this, and I agree with him. Thomas is probably a Missourian, all right, because you got to show him everything. He's a little bit of a doubter, right? He says, no, we don't know how to get where you're going, Lord. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And then Jesus says to him, and here's this three-part I am statement. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. This is powerful. He was telling them, look, you say you don't know the way to where I'm going, but you spent all this time with him. You've walked daily with him. You've seen him do miracles because I'm the way. You say you don't know the way to where I'm going. And he's talking about heaven. He said, but here I am. You know the way. You're looking at me. You're following me. I am the way. And so let's look at that for a second. There's no other way. And I want you to know this. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way for salvation. There's no other way into right relationship with God except through Jesus. Jesus gives us exclusive access to the Heavenly Father. There's a lot of philosophies, a lot of other things that are out there, other false religions that promise hope, that promise enlightenment, and promise all these things, but it's not Jesus. And Jesus is the only way that we can find salvation. Jesus is the only way we're going to find hope. Jesus is the only way that we're going to experience an eternity in heaven with our Heavenly Father, with our Creator. He's the only way. Now, there's a lot of ways you can go. And again, talking about maps, and you can get to our house, to my house, in several different ways from several different directions. And there's a lot of roads that run that way. Some of them take a little longer. Some of them are kind of direct. But you can get to my house in several different ways. But you can't get to Jesus, or you can't get to God except for one way. You can't find salvation except through Jesus. He's the way, not a way. He's the only road that takes you where your heart truly wants to go. And everyone in here, and if you're in here this morning, more than likely you're here because you either have believed and accepted Jesus as your Savior, or you're wanting to know more because inside, whether you admit it or not, you're longing for something. And that longing is for a Savior, for meaning, for love, for salvation, for His goodness. And I'm telling you, Jesus is the only way. It's the only way that we can have that. And here's the thing. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to follow the one who is. And that's the beautiful thing about it. If you're here and you're saying, listen, you don't know my past, you don't know my life, what I've gone through, what I've done, I want you to know this. You don't have to be perfect. None of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. I was confessing my sins this morning. But we're not. We're not perfect. But thank God Jesus is. He lived a perfect life so that we could be saved. He lived that perfect life for us. And He made a way for us to be in right relationship with God, and He is the only way. Everyone say, the only way. Jesus is the only way that we can do that. He's what you're looking for. If you feel lost, if you feel hopeless, if you feel like you're too far gone, I want you to know that you're not far enough gone that Jesus can't reach down and pull you in. He's there. It reminds me of when I was a little kid. I was probably my boy's age. And my big brother and his buddy, they decided we're going to take our bicycles and we're going to go right out in the hills. We call them the Adobes. Anyone ever been to the Adobes in Colorado? Probably not. It's on the western slope. You know what an adobe house is? These are hills made out of that stuff that they make adobe houses out of. When it gets wet, it just sticks to you, and it's all over your shoes, and you feel like your feet are 20 pounds each. But there's just hills, and there's really rarely any trees out there on them, so you can drive on the top, and you can look over, and you can see a long ways. Well, my big brother and his buddy took off, and so I told my friend, I said, well, let's go too. Well, they leave us in the dirt like a good brother would, right? leave us behind. They go over hill. They're gone. We can't find them. And we're just trying to catch up with them. And we get lost. And I'm talking real lost. Like emergency lost. And we're looking around and we get to one of these tops of one of these hills and we're trying to find our way. We can't see the house. We can't see my brother. I can't see anything around us but occasionally an old cottonwood tree down in one of those bottoms on those hills where all those trails were. And I'm looking and I can't find them. And I begin to cry and I'm thinking, I don't know what we're going to do. I think we're out here forever. And then off in the distance, I see just a little bit of dust, and it looks like it's kicking up a dust cloud about that high. I see my dad's truck, and he's driving. He's looking for us. And we're yelling, and we're waving our hands, and we're trying to get his attention, but he's too far away. He can't get to us and because he doesn't see us. We can see him, and we can't go fast enough to catch up with him. But finally, we happen to meet. By the grace of God, out there in the middle of those adobes, with no one else around, we run into my dad. And the relief that I felt. Dad gets out, he hugs us, promptly spanks us good for taking off. But there was still that relief because I knew. Can y'all hear me now? Woo! I had to move that mic. I don't have to talk as loud. But there's that relief. I knew, I just felt like, oh, finally, I'm going to get to eat dinner. I'm going to get to drink good water. I'm relieved. I don't even have to pedal this bike back to the house. That lost feeling, that hopeless feeling. There are people that are dealing that in their lives, lost, hopeless, searching, looking for an answer. And Jesus is the way. He's the way. In fact, he's the only way. And I love what it says in Acts. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It's talking about Jesus. You're looking for a way? Well, I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. Now let's keep going. He says, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. How many of y'all have an opinion in here? Go ahead, raise your hands. You got an opinion? Some of y'all have stronger opinions than others, but you got an opinion, right? I have opinion. My wife has opinions. Y'all have opinions. And opinions are like noses. They all stink. Or they all smell, excuse me. They smell stuff that stinks. They all smell. We can have opinions, we can have wrong opinions, we can have ideas, we can have wrong ideas. We can say, oh, this is my truth, and in a world full of confusion where we're confused about gender, we're confused about all sorts of things, confused about philosophies, confused about just life in general. Everyone can have an opinion, and the idea is this, oh, well, I'm just going to live my truth. Bottom line is, Jesus is saying, I am the way, but I'm also the truth, the standard. This is what we should anchor our life to, his truth, his words, right here. This is what we need to hold on to. This is what we need to center our life around. How many of y'all in your house, I want you to say it when I ask you this, your furniture, your couch, your chair, all of that, in your living room, what does it face? The TV. Most of you are going to say the TV, right? If you come to my house, you're going to see my couch, you're going to see our chairs, everything's facing the TV because that's what we do in that room is we watch TV. We go in and the furniture is all facing Stevie the TV, right? Our TV's name's Stevie. And so there it is. And our furniture faces that because that's what's got our attention. We'll watch ball games and hunting and fishing and cartoons and all kinds of stuff, and that's what we do in that room. But the furniture of our life, when we talk about our life, do we arrange our life around the truth of Jesus Christ and around the truth of the Word of God? Because not only is he the way to salvation, but he's the truth that we need to anchor our life to. And it's easy to arrange our life the furniture of our life, the things in our life around other things besides Jesus. And it's just a natural tendency as human beings to do that. Some of us can anchor our lives and surround our the things in our life around rodeo, around horses. We can arrange our life around music, or we can arrange our life around a boat, or we can arrange our life around trucks and cars and possessions, or we can arrange our life even around other things, a relationship that's not a relationship with Jesus. We do that. Now, none of those things are wrong. I love boats. I like trucks. I like rodeo. All those things. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love music. But I want to put Jesus in the center of my life, and I want to arrange my life around him. And I want to arrange my life around the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, because that's what I want my life to revolve around. That's what I want my life to revolve around. And in our lives, when we can anchor our life to the truth of Jesus Christ and who he is, it makes a difference in our life. Because the Bible says that if you seek the kingdom first, everything else is going to come in and fall into place right where it goes. And so we make Jesus and his truth, the truth of the Word of God, the truth that all other things and other opinions and other philosophies have to come to and bow down to, because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. All those things fall in second, third, fourth to Jesus and the truth of the Word of God. So we revolve our lives around him and our relationship with God. He said, listen, I'm the way. This is the only way you're going to have salvation. But this is also, I'm the truth, and you need to anchor your life in this. Some of you are saying, well, I feel insignificant, unloved, and I just feel like, yeah, I love Jesus and I've accepted him as my Savior, but I just feel like, you don't know my past, you don't know my life. It's been so hard, and I feel insignificant. But I want you to know, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, and even if you haven't, that you are loved and you are wanted by God. Jesus loves you. And that is truth that cannot be denied. It's a truth that all other things come second to. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior and we begin to walk in his way and follow him, see, he's not just pointing us in a direction. He's saying, follow me. How many times did he say that as he's calling disciples, come and follow me? And we're walking in his direction and we're anchoring our lives to his truth. We can find hope in that. We find true, lasting hope, peace, and a sense of security, because we have security in our salvation in Jesus Christ when we anchor our lives to that truth. You're chosen. You're redeemed. And the third thing he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. I'm the life. Now, on one level, I want you to know this. The Bible says this in John. Let me make sure I get the right one here. John chapter 11. Verse 25, this is another I am statement that he makes that we talked about a few weeks back. I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Think about that. We have resurrection power in us to live a victorious life because of Jesus and what he's done for us. And yes, he's saying, I am the life, in that you can become alive spiritually. And that is so good, because we need that. But there's a difference between surviving and thriving. There's a difference. There's a TV show that I like to watch. It's called Alone. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's a competition. Yeah, they go out and they drop these people off in the middle of the wilderness with just a backpack full of stuff, and I armchair quarterback that show all the time. Oh, well, they should have did this. They should have done that. It's easy to say when I'm sitting in my couch watching them on Stevie. It's easy. But being in that moment, that's tough. They're alone and they're working hard and they're trying to survive. And that's basically what they do. They survive. And sometimes when they come in for their health checks, they say, listen, you're not even surviving. You got to leave. And they do. Some of them have to, they get taken off the show because they're going to die out there in the wilderness. And so some of them survive, but there's a difference between surviving like that and thriving. And I'll tell you right now, I'm thriving. I'm doing pretty good. I can tell some of y'all are thriving too. Good for you. Good. But there's a difference. You see, because we have that resurrection power in us, and we get to live that victorious life, and we have salvation because we're following the way, Jesus, and we're anchoring our lives to his truth and his word, then he says things like this in chapter 10, verse 10, the thief's purpose is to come to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, that's not talking about being wealthy and having everything you want. But he's saying spiritually, you're not just surviving and holding on. Spiritually, you're thriving. You have joy. You have peace, no matter what the circumstances. You have hope in Jesus and what he's done for us. You have security in him because he's the life. And when we live our lives anchored to Jesus, we find ourselves living a life of peace and comfort and security, no matter what circumstances may arise. And so if you're here this morning and you're searching because you're trying to find a way, you don't know what it is, there has to be a better way. The answer is Jesus. Or if you're searching this morning, you're saying, I need to know what the truth is. I've heard all kinds of opinions and philosophies and ideas, and I've tried this religion and that religion. Well, I want you to know that Jesus is the truth. He's the truth. And when we anchor ourselves to the Word of God and trust in him and his truth, it changes things. And we move from survival to thriving. Spiritually alive with hope. And so this morning, if you want that hope, if you want that peace in your life, if you want to survive, to thrive and not just survive, accept Jesus, invite him into your heart, and call him your Lord today. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you and say thank you for your word. Thank you that we don't have to just survive, but that we can thrive spiritually as we walk in you. And I thank you that you've made a way for us to be in right relationship, that you've made a way for us to have salvation, forgiveness. And I pray that, Lord, if there's someone here that hasn't accepted you as Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they call you Lord. And we love you and we praise you and we thank you for that and give you all glory and all honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can see how practiced we are at all this. Okay, I don't know what page it is in your book, but the songs are alphabetical. So let's turn to Amazing Grace. And it's in B. For those of you playing along, it's in B. Today, Ty. I just love it when we're right at the basics, you know. We're born lost, and Jesus is the way to be found. Dave, would you close us in prayer, please?
Father, we can just imagine a bunch of horses in a corral running around and around and around and trying to get out. And the door is right there. We have a way out of our sin. We have a way out of the way that we tend to go. And the Bible even talks about people rushing around trying to find something, trying to escape. Well, we try to escape bad things. But we don't need to escape God, because God is all-knowing and all-caring and all-good. And we need to realize that He's just a whisper away. If you just tell Him that you want Him to be a part of your life, He's right there to meet you more than halfway. So thank you, Lord, for being so accessible to us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.